Well, good morning. Nice to have you here. My name is Jonathan. I'm the lead pastor here at Ridge Baptist. And I just want to welcome you wherever you find yourself this morning. And certainly if you're new and joining us, we want to say to you a special welcome. And also want to say to you happy Father's Day to those of you who are fathers. This is a high calling that God has given us. And I just want to wish you God's blessing. I know it takes energy and time and money. And may you just find joy as you invest in your kids' lives. Well, this morning we are going to start a new series. It's called Simply Church, and whether you've grown up in church all your life or you're just checking it out for the first time, church is a fairly significant part of what it means to follow Jesus. And of course, these days, with everything changing around COVID, it's affecting how we do church as well. And so we want to spend a little time thinking and talking about what church is over these next 3 weeks, and as we look to the future. And of course, these days, there's all kinds of questions about what the future is around meeting together. When can we meet? How do we do it? What does it look like? What's the right way to do it? And in fact, beginning next week, we're going to lay out for you some specifics about how we want to go forward in this next season, as we're allowed, to see how we can begin to gather together as a church in different ways. So join us next week as we do that. However, one thing for sure is that it's going to be different. It sounds like at this point, unless something significant changes, that we won't be able to meet like we did before COVID came for at least the coming year. And so that's why we want to spend this time talking about what it means to be church, because it's going to become very important over these next weeks and months that we have a common understanding, a right understanding of what church looks like and how we're going to go about it. And so that's where we're going to start. And we want to talk today about what it means to be the church. For some of you, you've been in church all your life. You're like, I know, but just hang on with me. You're going to find some things. We want to talk about some things that maybe you haven't been so familiar with. And for some of you, you say, I've never been to church before in my life. Or I went with my grandparents when I was a kid, or my friend took me, and maybe you had a good experience, maybe it was not such a great experience, but whatever the case is, you've always sort of wondered, like, what is this church all about? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, if you look into the New Testament, the writers of the New Testament, actually they use a number of analogies to explain what the church is all about. At one point, they compare the church to being the bride and Jesus being like a groom. Another place, they talk about the church as being like a family, or another place like a body. But today we're actually going to look at another analogy. It's one that the Apostle Peter uses. And he uses it to help us understand what the church is. And he describes it in his first letter that he wrote to a number of churches. It's called the letter of 1 Peter. And so if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to join me there. 1 Peter chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible, you can download a free app. It's called YouVersion. And just choose either the ESV translation or the NIV translation, and you'll be able to join us really quickly as we look at what the Apostle Peter says about the church. Now, he says it in simply two verses in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verses 4 and 5. This is what he writes. He says, as you come to him, Jesus, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So in one sentence, the Apostle Peter defines what it means to be the church. So let's go back now and look more carefully at it, sort of part by part, to understand what it says both in that day and to us. So he starts again in verse 4, he starts with this. He says, as you, meaning us, as you come to him, meaning Jesus, a living stone rejected by man, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. Now, what Peter is going to do here is he is going to introduce a new analogy for the church. And he is going to compare the church to a temple. Now, if you're here a couple of weeks ago, you know that at one point, Peter sat with Jesus on the Mount of Olives, looking out over the temple in Jerusalem. And Jesus explained to Peter and the other disciples that that temple would be utterly destroyed. There would not be one stone left on top of another. And that's because, in part, that temple, the one in Jerusalem, represented the old covenant. Now, it was the covenant that God had with his people. It was old, but it was a good covenant. But Jesus came and he fulfilled that covenant. Which means that, as the writer of Hebrews writes, that old covenant became obsolete. So the temple then was no longer necessary. And so it would be destroyed. But now Peter says that in the new covenant, the covenant that comes through Jesus' blood, through his death and resurrection, that in the new covenant, God would build a new temple. And that new temple would be the church. It would be his people. And so he describes this picture of building this new temple. And like any good construction project, he begins with the foundation. Because the foundation, of course, is so important. I mean, if you've ever seen them build a high-rise tower, you know that they dig this deep hole, and then it seems like they spend months down in that hole, and you see nothing. Until finally, slowly, the building kind of inches its way out of the ground, and then it seems to grow really rapidly. But the reason why they spend so much time down below is because the foundation is so important. If the foundation is wrong, the whole thing is a mess. And the same is true for the church. The foundation that a church builds itself on is incredibly important, because if a church chooses the wrong foundation, the whole thing becomes a nightmare, becomes a mess. And so the Apostle Peter starts out by explaining what the foundation for a church should be. And so that's why he says in verse 4, he says, "As you come to him," meaning Jesus, "a living stone rejected by men in the sight of God, chosen and precious." The living stone that he's speaking about there is Jesus. And what he's saying is that Jesus should be the foundation. He should be the cornerstone of every church everywhere through all of history. In fact, a couple verses later, he goes on to quote an Old Testament verse that makes that very point. He says this, "The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." Now, he's referring here again to Jesus. You know, Jesus was rejected by the religious leaders. Very clearly, we've seen that over the last number of weeks. But he says, that's who God chose to become the foundation of the new temple, of the church that God is building. So that means that if Jesus is not the foundation, if Jesus is not the center of a church, if Jesus is not ultimately what everything is, that we do is about and for, and it points back to Jesus, then the church will be a mess. You know, the question sometimes asked these days is this: why should I go to church? I mean, church is on a Sunday morning. Why should I get up early on one of the only two mornings of a week that I can sleep in? You know, I go and I listen to some music. I listen to someone preach. I meet people in the lobby, but you know, all of those things you can get somewhere else. The music that we have here is great. Tim and the team do a fantastic job. But you and I both know that on your phone right now, you have downloaded some of the best music from the finest musicians around the world. You can get better music than you can at the church. And when it comes to ideas to think about and to stimulate your thinking and fascinating things to talk about, I mean, there are thousands of TED Talks and millions of podcasts that you can listen to, probably better than what you're finding right here, right now. And in fact, if you're looking for people to connect with, I mean, you can find people to connect with at your local sports team, the book club. You can find them, you know, on an online chat. I mean, you can find that everywhere else. And even if you're looking for a cool place to hang out, you know, church probably isn't the coolest place in the world to hang out. Although, it's pretty good on a Sunday morning to be here with everyone. And now, that doesn't mean that we don't do our best, that we don't seek to do everything with excellence. But the point is this. The church can't compete with the rest of the world around all of those different things. But then we're not trying to compete. See, what the church has to offer that the world doesn't have is Jesus. Jesus is the foundation of everything that we do. In fact, at the center of the Christian faith is this idea of the incarnation. This idea that God himself became flesh and dwelt among us and came to show us how to live this life to the fullest that it can be lived. And in that there is a depth. In that there's a picture of what life can and should be like. In that there is an invitation to find life that you don't find, that you can't find anywhere else outside of Jesus. And in light of Jesus, in light of what he has to offer, all those other things, and they're good things, the concerts and the, you know, the TED Talks and the sports teams, those are all great things. But in the light of Jesus, they're sort of at the superficial level. Because what Jesus offers is at the heart level. It's at the deepness and life level. And that's what you can't find anywhere else. And that's what the church is all about. So here's the first part of what a church is. Church is established on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Ultimately, that's what we're about. That's what we offer the world. It's the foundation of everything that we do. And that's why the Apostle Peter starts here. Because it's on that foundation that everything else is built. Now, once the foundation is set, the building begins. And that's, in fact, what Peter talks about next. He says this next. He says, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up. And what he says here is this, that on the foundation of Jesus Christ, God is building his church. It is being built up almost by this invisible hand, this hand that is God himself. So we're not building the church. It isn't because of our great programs or our best sermons or our innovative outreach that the church is being built. It's being built by God himself. He's the one who is building it and making it. And so it's so important for pastors like me, for church leaders, but really for all of us to understand this second point. And that's this. Church is established on the foundation of Jesus Christ, but it is being built by God himself. Now, we do our part. We labor, we share, we invite, we do our best to make Sunday morning and youth and children's ministry the best that it can be. But in the end, it's God who draws people. In the end, it's God who changes people's hearts. In the end, it's God who builds the church. In fact, in verse 10, the Apostle Peter goes on to say this. He says, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. It's God's church. You know, when COVID came and we found out that we couldn't open the doors of the church every Sunday morning for everyone to come, I have to confess, you know, I had a lot of questions. Like, what's going to happen now when we can't meet together? When we can't offer Sunday school? When we don't have a nursery for people to put their kids in? When we can't offer, you know, coffee and cookies? Although hopefully you're coming for more than just the coffee and the cookies. And what's going to happen if we do all this online? I mean, singing online with your TVs is a little bit awkward. And, you know, me talking to you is different than if you're here. And the question is, what's going to happen to the church? And yet the fact of the matter is, it's not me who's building the church. It's not us who's building the church. It's God who's building the church. And in fact, he's doing that very thing. You know, Nicky Gumbel, if you don't know him, he is the founder of a course called the Alpha Course. Alpha Course is like a 10-week class where you come together, you have a meal together with some people, you get to know them a little bit, build this bit of connection, and then you watch a video together, and then you have this conversation about what it says, and it introduces basically the fundamentals of what it means to follow Jesus. And Nicky Gumbel, in an interview, you can see it online, he said, I resisted putting Alpha online because this coming together, this meal together was so vital to what we were doing. And yet he says that obviously, they've been forced to go and do all of that online. He says it's the best thing that's ever happened to Alpha. He says the number of people who are now taking Alpha has tripled since COVID has started. In the particular area that he's doing it, he says normally in a summer, they'd have about 500 people taking Alpha. He says this summer, they have 1,600 who are taking Alpha. And in his small group, he said all but one were taking Alpha at this point because of COVID. Because it caused them to ask some of the bigger questions about life. And because it gave them space in their life to actually explore those questions. And in fact, he said that they've joined online because it's less intimidating. They don't have to come into a building. They can do it from the comfort of their own home. And it's allowed people who normally couldn't to be able to come. So for instance, young families who have young children, they can now just put their kids to bed. And then they log on to the computer. The kids are just in the room next to them, and they've been able to participate. And he said that, in fact, online, the number of people who have dropped off, there's always some people who drop out, he said, is way less than normal. And people are coming to faith like crazy through Alpha Online. And the point is this, that in the midst of COVID, when it's like, what's God going to do when the churches are all shut down? The answer is God is building his church in all kinds of unexpected ways. And it's not just places like, Alpha, where Nikki Gumbel is doing that. It's in our own church too. We've been seeing, just in quiet ways, God opening the doors. And what God is doing is, for all kinds of people, he's opening their eyes to see that there's a God who loves them and who has plans and purposes for their life, and that those plans and purposes are found in Jesus Christ. And so I want to just invite you, I want to ask you to keep praying that God would work in the lives of so many people who are exploring. Pray when you're by yourself. Pray when you're together with your spouse. Pray as a family, and even consider coming and joining some of the prayer meetings that we're having here throughout the week. But would you pray? Because God is in the process of building his church around the world, and he's in the process of building his church right here among us right now. So that's the place where we're starting. Okay, here's the next thing, this definition of what church is that Peter gives us, and that's this. Back in this verse again, he says this, "You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house." Now, the word that he uses there, the Greek word that is translated in English as spiritual house, is the same word used throughout the New Testament to refer to God's house, to the temple. And so what Peter is saying is that that word now applies to the church. The new temple, the temple of the new covenant, is not made out of stone and gold and marble like the temple in Jerusalem is. Rather, it is being made out of people, out of what he calls living stones that God is building. And those are people whose lives have been transformed and redeemed by God. You know, back in the late 90s, 1998, me and a buddy of mine, we backpacked through Europe, and we, at one point, came to the city of Barcelona in Spain. Now, if you've never been to Barcelona, it's a beautiful city. And one of the landmarks there is called the Sagrada Familia. The Sagrada Familia is this incredible cathedral that is still under construction. It was started back in the year 1882, and a year later, the architect who started it quit. And so the young man that they found, only 30 years old, to take over this project was a man named Antoni Gaudí. Now, Gaudí had this incredible vision to build a cathedral unlike any other cathedral that had ever been built before. And in fact, he spent his whole life working on it. And it is Gaudí. In fact, if you've heard this expression, you know, that looks really Gaudí. That comes from his architectural work. But if you get to Barcelona and you get a chance to go see this thing, I mean, you should see it. It is amazing. It is spectacular. So, me and my buddy, we went to see it. But then later that evening, we were invited to a friend's home who lived in Barcelona. I'd met that friend a number of years before at Bible school. And she said to me, "Look, if you ever come to Spain, if you ever end up in Barcelona, why don't you come? My family will host you for a night, and we just love to have you." So, being, you know, a poor backpacker through Europe and having this invitation, we called her up and said, "Hey, would you mind?" She's like, "Of course, come over." And so we took the subway to this nondescript neighborhood in some part of Barcelona. We went up into this apartment building, up these sort of old stairs, and they opened the door, and we walked into their apartment. And their apartment was kind of dark and very simple and kind of plain. And they sat us down at this table where there was this very simple meal that they made. But that evening, and we just laughed and talked and shared life together. And there was this warmth in this room. And I mean, supper started in Spain. It starts around 9. And about 10:30, they brought out this richest, darkest, most caffeine-fueled coffee that you ever saw and filled our cups up with it. And man, it was a beautiful experience. It was such a great time that we had there. And you know, that little apartment had nothing on that cathedral in Barcelona. In fact, I've lost touch with that friend. I couldn't find that apartment in Barcelona if my life depended on it. But if you said to me, Jonathan, you can go back to Barcelona, but you only have time either to visit that cathedral or to spend another evening with that family in that little apartment, I mean, the decision for me would be really easy. I'd go on YouTube for 20 minutes, get the close-up look at that cathedral, and then I'd get on a plane, and I'd go to Barcelona, and I'd spend the evening with that family. Because that family, though it was nothing fancy, nothing formal, nothing, you know, compared to that cathedral, it was life-giving. It was a place filled with all of the good things that come from connecting with other people. And in fact, that's the picture that the Apostle Peter is painting here for us. What God's building is not a fancy building. It's not a physical temple like it was in Jerusalem. Rather, it's this rich, life-giving community. It's this new temple that we call the church. And it's not about a building. Ultimately, it's about a people. It's about a community. It's about being part of a group of people that together are following Jesus, that together are encouraging one another, that together are walking together through life in light of who Jesus is and what God has done through him. So here's the third part of the definition of church that Peter gives us, and it fits at the beginning of the definition. Church is a community of people established on the foundation of Jesus Christ, being built by God. So church is not a building. In fact, it's not even an event or a meeting once a week on a Sunday morning. Those things are important for sure. Our building is important in the sense that it is a beautiful tool that God has given us to accomplish the mission that he has given us. So we need to take care of the building. We need to fix it up like we're doing. But church is not a building. And the meeting on Sunday morning is vital. It's so central to what we do. But that also is not the definition of church. The definition of church is a community, a group of people. And so if these other things are taken away, if the building would burn to the ground, if the government confiscated it, if we're not able to meet here like we did for the next coming year, that's okay. Because the church is a community of people. But if we stop being that community of people, If we stop following Jesus together, if we stop encouraging one another as we follow after Jesus, if we stop caring for one another and reaching out to one another and spurring one another on to love and good deeds, if we stop seeking to reach our community or our city rather together, if we stop following Jesus together, then we cease to be the church. Because the church is all about a community. In fact, being in community is so important. You can read the entire New Testament and you will not find a single writer in the New Testament, not a single place that implies or even hints that you can be a follower of Jesus without being in community with other followers of Jesus. You to follow Jesus means to be part of a community. Now, it doesn't define exactly what that looks like. It doesn't say that it has to be a big group or a little group. It doesn't say whether, you know, it has to be candles and incense or, you know, a band playing loud music. There's a lot of flexibility. But it is utterly clear that if you're a follower of Jesus, you have to be in community with others. Jesus himself says that wherever at least two or three, if not more, are, there he is. Also, and nowhere do you or I have any permission from anyone in the Bible to not walk together in community. So, this is part of what church is. Now, that doesn't mean that being part of a church, part of a community, is always easy. Sometimes it's actually kind of messy. And in fact, I could tell you all kinds of stories of church community that's been messy and where people have been hurt and where I've been hurt. And that shouldn't be, but sometimes it is. And when that's the case, then we need to deal with it. And we need to work it out. And we need to seek forgiveness. But I could also tell you all kinds of stories about where the community, the church of Jesus Christ, was so rich. Where people loved and sacrificed and gave and poured into one another and poured into me. And I mean, that's just what community is. It comes with some messiness and it comes with a bunch of beauty. Being in the church, being part of the church means being in community. It's the third part of this definition that the Apostle Peter gives us. Okay, and then there's one more part of this definition of community that we see from these verses that we've looked at here. Here's the last part. He says this, "You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house." And then he adds this, "to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Now Peter takes this analogy. He's been comparing the church to this temple, and now he changes it. He says, now to be the church is not only to be the temple, this living temple, but now the church also means to be the priests who serve in that temple. And what he's saying here is that the temple isn't just a place where Christians gather to meet. It's not just a place where we kind of hang out together. He says that the church, the people of God, is a group of people who have a purpose. They have a job to do. They have a mission. And in fact, this is the last part of this definition. Church is a community of people established on the foundation of Jesus Christ, being built by God to accomplish the mission of God. You see, churches that fail to understand that God has given them a mission to perform, a mission to carry out, churches that fail to understand that actually fail to be the church that God intends them to be. We don't simply exist for ourselves or for our own comfort. We exist to serve God. You know, when the church first began in the ancient Roman world, they had to make a choice about how they would refer to themselves. And they had an option. There was two ways that they could have referred to themselves. They could have referred to themselves as what was known in that ancient world as a privatus cultus. In English, we'd say a private cult. In other words, they could have said, we are a group of people, and there was many privatus cultuses in those days. They could have said, we're a group of people like that who exist solely for the spiritual benefit of our members and solely for their salvation in the afterlife. That was one option. The other option was to identify themselves as an ecclesia. An ecclesia was an assembly of people gathered to determine what was best for the common good. It was kind of like an ancient town hall where all of the citizens would come together to determine what was best for the city. So these were the two options. Would the church be a privatist cultus, this sort of private spiritual club that just looked out for the salvation of their own members and sort of thought lofty spiritual thoughts? Or would they identify themselves as this public group that was interested in pursuing what was best for the people around them, for the city? And of course, there was a price to pay for both. I mean, to be the privatist cultus was actually the easier choice in the sense that if they identified as that, they would have never had any trouble from the Roman government. They would have never been persecuted because what they said is, we're just about ourselves and we're just about making our way to heaven. The government would have never persecuted the church if they'd chosen that. But to choose this, to say that we're going to be the ecclesia, meant that they said we want to impact our culture. We want to influence the culture around us. We want to influence the lives of our neighbors and our friends and our coworkers because of what Jesus has done. Now, obviously the answer is that they chose to identify themselves as the ecclesia. They chose to identify themselves, to define themselves as this group of people who were on mission to see the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ impact everything in the world around them. So when you read through the New Testament, everywhere that you read in English the word church, that is in Greek the word ecclesia. This group of people, a community of people established on the foundation of Jesus Christ, being built by God Himself in order that they might fulfill the mission that God has given them. And in fact, that's what we want to be. That's what it means to be the church. And that's where we're going as a church. We're not perfect for sure. We got our issues. We got a long ways to go. But we want to go together in a community, in this community of people called by God to follow after Jesus. And Jesus is going to be our foundation. He must be our foundation because it's the only thing that we really have to offer. And yet it's the best thing. Jesus has to be the center, the one that everything that we do points to, everything that we do is about. But as we do it over this coming year, again and always, We do it knowing that Jesus, or rather that God is building his church. So, whether we're able to meet here all together or only in little bits, or if we're meeting in homes, it doesn't matter because we have this confidence. God is building his church. But as we do it, man, we got to be on mission. We got to keep thinking about how it is that God has called us to this city at this time so that our city would know Jesus. That's the mission that Jesus has given us as a church. It's what he calls all of his churches to be the ecclesia of God for the benefit of the city, that our world would know the hope that we have through Jesus. So, look, next week we're going to talk about more details, where we're going, what it's all going to look like. But today we start by saying, this is what it means to be the church. And join us as together we are the church here at this place, at Ridge Baptist, at this season. I want to invite you, would you join me? Let's pray together. And then we're going to close with some singing. Our God, we come to you today. And God, we thank you that you created the church. God, it's never perfect, but there's no communities that are perfect. And yet, God, in your grace, you have chosen to use us, this community of people from so many different backgrounds, some so different in so many ways, but unified because of what Jesus has done in our lives. And God, not because we're so great, so wonderful, but rather because you're building this place. You're drawing people. And God, we pray again today for so many people that you're working in their hearts right now. You're opening their eyes to see. Lord, may you draw them to Jesus. And Father, we want to be a community of people that are on mission for you. And so, Lord, may you continue to open doors and opportunities for us together and as individuals, but together to see your kingdom built, to see your name glorified, to invite so many others to know the life that we have in Jesus. So we give ourselves to you this day again. We thank you for what you're doing. We trust you going forward. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, let's worship together.